God is good, and all the time. Thank you for that very brave testimony you shared there, Jan. Bless you for that. It's great to have you here this morning, and it's what makes today special for my, in respect to my birthday, is that I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you. It is honestly a huge, huge privilege, and I never, ever, ever take it for granted. And I just want to thank the Lord from the bottom of my heart for yet another year above ground that I can be a threat to the devil. Hallelujah. It's great to have you here. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you for your generous participation in the offering. Have you ever wondered why there are so many stars that they cannot even be numbered? Have you ever wondered why the universe is so expansive? Have you ever wondered why there's still so many undiscovered species of animals and insects and birds and plants and creatures like that? Have you ever wondered why we cannot even discover the deepest parts of the ocean? I know the deepest part, as far as we know, there's a place called Mariana's Trench. It's over 11 kilometers deep into the sea. Have you ever wondered why there's so many things that are undiscovered that's just so awesome we cannot even measure it? Why did God do things in the way that he did? We're going to have a look at that and discover that a bit this morning. Is that okay? So before we even get into the word, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of being able to gather here today. We do not take for granted this special gathering. Our numbers are few because of the times that we're going through, but it does not take away from what you are doing in our midst, because where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We can announce and declare what you have spoken of old, where it teaches us in the scripture, and it says, behold, look and see how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing oil poured on the head of Aaron that runs down from his head to his beard, down his priestly garments to the edge of his garments. For there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. What a privilege it is to fellowship together, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, for untold numbers watching online, that your blessing would be upon them as well, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word together. Thank you, God, that you're watching over your word to perform it, and it'll achieve the purposes for which you send it forth, Lord. And thank you that it'll bear much lasting fruit in our lives as your kingdom is built in our hearts, to the praise and glory of your name. And the people of the Most High God said, amen. Amen. So thank you for coming to fellowship with us this morning. The fellowship is special and it is awesome. For those folks watching online and at home, wherever you are, I know that you're going to be blessed as well. Why does God do things in such abundance, such awesomeness that humans cannot even quantify it all? Why does he do that? We've been told that, you know, when God said, in the beginning, let there be light, it worked out that the universe is still growing and expanding, because guess what? That word of God is still traveling and still growing and creating light and light and light and just expanding all the time. And yet, God pays attention to the smallest details in our lives, the very hairs on our heads being numbered. And just look at how unique people are. Our fingerprints are all different. Our DNA strands are all different. Why does God do things like that? I want to say this much. God cannot help himself. He cannot help himself. He is this awesome being. And I've called this message this morning, God, more than enough. He's God of more than enough. In times that I've studied the scriptures, we found that there are 32 different names for God. Several different Jehovah's. Jehovah this, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah whatever. They mean different things at different times. And it comes out when people in the Bible have seen a different nature a character trait of God. They say, you're God of this, the God who provides, the God who supplies, the God of breakthrough, the God of healing, and the different names of God come through. And one of them is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the God of more than enough. He's not the God of just enough. He's the God of more than enough. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And he's more than enough for you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 reads as follows. In the New King James, now to him. So when is the time that we must go to God? When is the time that we must trust God? When is it?
Now.
That's why it says that. Dis nie per toeval in die skrif nie. Now, when nie eendag nie as ek my lewe is uitgesort kry, nie eendag as ek lus het of nie eendag nadat ek 'n paar dinge regger ruk het in my lewe. No, you don't have a shower before you bath or bath before you shower. You can't fix yourself before coming to God. It is in coming to God that he puts the pieces together. Can I get an amen? So it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And here's the exciting part. According to the power that works in us. This ability and willingness of God to do the impossible and be more than enough, he wants to work that through simple people like you and me. He's the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. So I submit to you that if there is any kind of limitation on God's power, it's because of people limiting his power working through them. Folks, God always has and always will use people as part and parcel of his plan and process for all of creation. He wants to use people. The scripture teaches that we're going to live and rule and reign with God in eternity one day. Who are we going to reign over? Have you ever thought about that? Once everything's said and done, and the devil's defeated, and thrown into hell forever, what are we going to reign over? We're still part of God's plan to exercise governance over the works of his hands. Now that is exciting, folks. I'm really, really looking forward to that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And this is clear from this verse in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that God is the God of more than enough, because it says exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Here's this truth. There is no human issue that God cannot resolve. There is no limit to the love that he has for his creation. There is no limit to that stuff. Mankind cannot even think of a problem that God cannot resolve, because it just doesn't exist. There is no problem that God does not have a heavenly solution for. Now here's the challenge. Beteken dit dat ons die oplossing gaan kry vir daai issue in hierdie leeftyd? Nie noodwendig nie. And folks, that's Christian maturity. Living with that tension. Knowing what the Word of God promises, and yet sometimes still not seeing those things come to pass. We discussed this last week. That's Christian maturity. And yet believing that God's Word says what it says it is. There is no higher sense of justice than God's sense of justice. You see, when a person commits an offense, and we know that on the freeways there's suggestions as to the speeds that you must do. On this side of the freeway it says 120, on the other side it says 120, 120 plus 120 equals 200. So there's suggestions that we stick to certain speed limits. And when we ride enthusiastically, people suggest that certain fines get imposed on us, but for some people that's a crooked sense of justice. Can you say amen? There is no higher sense of justice than God's sense of justice. Why do I say that? Because the scripture says in Proverbs that the unrighteous do not even understand justice. Daarom gaan ons hof toe, dan kan ons nie verstaan hoekom die landros sekere vonnisse uit lê Dit was op die tip van my tong. Nie te sleg vir 'n soutie nie, nee. Daar's sekere vonnisse wat hy uitlei en dan dink ons, is that all they get? And then some people, there's imbalances in justice where two people do exactly the same crimes. One person gets one hefty sentence and the other person just a little, listen, just don't do it again, you naughty person. There's a warped sense of justice, but there's no higher sense of justice than God's sense of justice. And because of that, he's going to fulfill promises like this. And we're going to look at a few of those promises this morning. Just a few, because the scripture is full of many of them. And it's because of this sense of justice that God has that these promises are going to be fulfilled, albeit not necessarily an ons leeftijd. Isaiah 11 and verse 9, it says, "Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, I long for that time when everybody knows Jesus like we know Jesus. It's like you discovering something that's beyond your wildest imagination, good and just lekker. You're going to want to, and you know there's an abundance of it. Daar sit 'n kort daarvan. You're going to want to share it with other people. And sometimes we as Christians, you know, we misrepresent Jesus and misrepresent God in our zeal and our enthusiasm just to tell others about our best friend. But at the end of the day, we just want others to know Jesus like we know Jesus. And that scripture promises that the earth is one day going to be filled with people who know the Lord. In God's eyes, that's justice, that all know that he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. Luke 21 and verse 33. "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." Folks, just think about that. Heaven and earth, okay, it's one thing to say earth will disappear. I mean, if a big enough asteroid or meteorite hits this little blue marble, this ticket's for ons, word. This for bay. So earth disappears. But the heavens? How does that disappear? The heavens disappear. But the scripture says, heaven and earth will disappear, the Bible says. But God says, my words will never disappear. The most widely published and distributed book in the history of all mankind, more copies printed than anything else ever, the Bible, is still around today. And as times change, the format of the Word of God has changed. Now it's electronic. Now you can drive and you can have the Word playing in your ears all the time. There's so many ways that we can have the Word available to us today. But the Word of God will never, ever, ever disappear. It is indelible, cannot be deleted. This will be fulfilled because of God's ultimate sense of justice. Another promise, Malachi 3 and verse 5. And this is where it gets really personal and special for me. "At that time, I will put you on trial. I'm eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars." Wow. That's getting serious. This is God. "I'm eager to witness against all sorcerers, adulterers, and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees out of their wages." Can I see some excitement in the house of God this morning? Mense, die Here sien dit raak, hoor. Die Here sien dit raak. If there's imbalances and injustices in the workplace because of whatever political issue, God says he sees it. He sees it. He sees it. And if you're in a place of right standing with God, men say, "He seen that rock." Take courage in that. He sees it. And he says this, "Those who cheat employees out of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans." The Bible goes on to say in James That pure and undefiled religion. Only time that religion is used in the Bible. Pure and undefiled religion is taking care of widows and orphans in their time of need. And those who oppress widows and orphans, God sees. Or those who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. Who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. God will fulfill these promises because of his sense of justice. And these things are going to be fulfilled. We're going to see this awesomeness of God, this exceeding abundance of God fulfilled in these promises that he wants to keep. Stick in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Folks, when you're in a covenant relationship with God. You see, God loves covenants. He loves promises. He loves men, women, and children over the world who are brave enough to say, God, I make this commitment to you that if you do this and that, I'll do this and that. But folks, be very careful when you make such covenants. You see, because God is a covenant keeper. He's a covenant keeper. Right throughout Scripture, we see many, many kinds of covenants. And when you enter into a financial covenant with God, say, God, I'm going to honor you, not because I'm scared of the devil stealing my money or this or that or because I want stuff. I love you and I want to worship you even with this thing called money. I want to worship you with it, God, because it's all yours anyway. When you enter into a covenant with God, not a decision, this month I'm going to do it. If it's a little bit difficult next month, then I'm going to just hold back a little bit. No, a covenant. Where you keep your covenant with God. He promises that he'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hopes. We've heard a testimony that, ten spate of fun, moeilike omstandighede, God provides. Look what happened to the Israelites while 10 plagues were breaking out around them. Imagine this. There's an Egyptian cow and an Israeli cow next to each other. And the Egyptian cow falls over dead. And the Israeli cow carries on mooing. Who worked it on? God's supernatural provision for those who are in covenant with him. God's supernatural protection for those who are in covenant with him. Because he's the God of exceeding abundance. That's just how he is. He cannot help himself. The good news is this morning is that God favors the underdog. What is an underdog? It's like me getting on my bike and taking on Valentino Rossi. And I can have all the bling, all the gear, and no idea. Dressed up on the line, waiting for the start. Folks, I'm the underdog. You can give him a Vespa, and he'll still beat me around the track. I'm the underdog. Guess what? I'll have God's favor. God loves Valentino Rossi too, amen. And let's face it, he's past his prime. The new kid on the block is Mark Marquez. But yeah, he's still a legend, and I like Valentina, okay? Deal with it. God favors the underdog. The underdog, the one who stands no chance. The one where society, because he's just not good enough. God favors the underdog. And that's good news this morning. I get excited about this. I want to ask you this question. Those folks watching online, maybe some folks, as well, I spoke to a gentleman this week that's going through exactly this. Do you feel that everything and everyone is against you? Don't raise your hands. Do you feel that everything and everyone is against you? It's just not working out for you. Do you feel that the harder you try, the worse it gets? I'm wondering if yourself, well, why must I just keep on keeping on? It gaan nie vir my uitwerk anyway. Do you feel that nothing ever works out for your good? Nothing works out good for you. If you feel like that, I want to say this to you. That God insists on having things his way.
let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will.
Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see that in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. So what is God's way like this when Jesus says, let your will be done? God insists on having things his way. What are the ways of God? Well, this is the ways of God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says this. And God is able to make... I looked at it in several translations, and this one just emphasizes the exceeding abundance of God's nature. Puts it like this in the New King James. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 say.
And God is able to make
all grace abound toward you, that you
always, having all sufficiency
in all things. It sounds over and over because daar is net nie woorde om dit te beskryf nie. Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance
for every good work. There's no short supply of what God needs to achieve his purposes. God promises that he'll supply our needs, not our greeds.
Now I know that none of you are ever greedy. None of you ever want more than enough. No, maybe you know other Christians in other churches, but none of us want more than enough. Isn't it? God promises that he supplies our needs and not our greeds according to his purposes. What a promise just in that scripture. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for every good work. The challenge is trying to understand this when we don't see it happening or when we don't understand God's process or timing. It's so wonderful to quote that scripture in this context and believe it. Yes, and we're here, and it's a good atmosphere, and we're encouraging each other and stirring each other's faith up. But when we don't see it happening, wanneer maand na maand na maand gaan verby en daar is nie 'n inkomste nie, of daar is nie 'n deurbraak nie. Jy probeer medisyne na medisyne na medisyne, spesialis na spesialis na spesialis, verhouding na verhouding na verhouding. The challenge is still trusting this when this is happening. When we don't see it happening, when we don't understand God's timing or God's process that he is busy with. Men, sal julle saamstem met my vanoggend dat daar vele male is wanneer ons vrouens nie verstaan nie? Or is it just me? Men, help me, need your backup, please. Can I get some amens? God bless you. I've got family coming up for me in the back there. There are times, Lord, the woman you sent me, she did this. There are times when we don't understand our wives, let alone ourselves. Bear with me now, let alone God's processes. Folks, if you can fully understand God, you need a bigger God. If you can fully understand God, you need a bigger God, man. I don't know why this comes up, but this just comes up. There's so many things that science has worked out and figured out and discovered. In the development process of an embryo of a human being in its womb, there comes a time where scientists do not understand it and can't explain it, where something out of nowhere, our eyelids are completely closed, and something out of the blue, out of nowhere, slits it like this from one point and just opens it up. And they're like, how did that happen? I don't know. But I submit to you that Psalm 139 says, when I was skillfully wrought in the secret place in my mother's womb, there are certain things that we just ain't going to know. And then you think that you can understand God's ways all of the time. Mensa, ons kan nie. Ons kan nie. And this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, becomes hard to understand when we don't understand his timing, his ways, his purposes, and his process. When we don't understand it, the challenge is living with that tension where the scripture promises this, but we're at a place where we can't understand this all of the time. I'll give you an example, just one of many, many examples. For example, I want to say this, that we are going to go through certain things in this life that we feel that we desperately need, that we just cannot do without, and we're just not going to get it. Why? I don't know. I don't know. God may be withholding certain things from our life that we feel we desperately need and we simply cannot do without, just so that we can learn to have complete dependency upon Him. He's going to withhold things from us that we feel, ek kan nie sonder dit nie. Here, hoekom word hierdie gebeur en nie geantwoord nie? And God will be deliberately withholding them from us, just so that we can learn complete dependency upon Him. And if we don't understand that process, and we don't understand what it is that God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives, ons gaan sukkel om te glo wat daai teksvers sê in Korintiërs hoor. Ons gaan sukkel daarmee. When we don't understand the process and the purpose. Sometimes He'll allow things to happen in our lives and around us because we refuse to humble ourselves. Amen. Folks, please don't ever pray, Lord, humble me. Make me humble, Lord. No. The Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible teaches that we must humble ourselves. Jacobus 4 and verse 10. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and then He will exalt you with honor in due time. So, God might be allowing you to go through certain things because you refuse to humble yourself. And I think, yeah, you think to yourself, well, Mozzie, I'm so low, I can fly a kite under a carpet. I'm not I don't care who you are, that's funny. You create verschillende forms of hoog, but I'm talking this high and mighty kind of stuff. But sometimes, if you have an idea or opinion that you place above God's word, that's also pride. That's also pride. God might be telling you, you can, I've given you gifts, I've given you talents, I want you to, you're my man, you're my woman, this is the time. And you might say, no, Lord, I can't, no, Lord, not me, I'm scared. That's pride. You're taking an idea that you have about yourself or situation and placing it above what God has said about you and declared in His word. That in itself, ladies and gentlemen, is a form of pride. So sometimes we don't understand the process that God is taking us through. And in times like that, it becomes difficult to trust Him for a verse like that. Sometimes we think we've passed the test when we haven't. For example, jy skryf die toets in die eksamen. Die papiere gaan in. The teacher is busy marking the exam and knows the result before you have. And you all lekker, hey, I've made it. I've slotted an A plus or a whatever. Meantime, you failed. Sometimes we think we've passed the test when we haven't. God knows we need to rewrite it and rewrite it. You see? Because He's the God of exceeding abundance. That has everything that you need to get you to the place where He wants you to be. Now, granted, for many people in their life, this is not applicable. Because many people have not said to God, Lord, here I am. I want to be used of You. I want to become like Jesus. Help me in this walk. But for those of us that have, God is a master builder. And He's busy building and shaping you. You might think, that's it, Lord. I've given my life to the Lord. Ek het my laat doop. Ek besorg die tiendes terug aan U. Ek getuig. Ek doen die en ek doen die. En ek is nou reg. And God's like, wait. In the Bible, we see people going through 40 days and 40 years of trials and tribulations and testing, right? Because they're busy being punished. Isn't it so? No. Mm-mm. Testing is 40 is a time of testing and preparation in the Bible for true leadership. Every person called to true leadership from God will and must go through a time of testing. So, how long is your period of testing? I don't know, 40 something. 40 hours, 40 days, 40 months. I'm going to give you 40 days to get back. I'm giving my age away now. Who knows, folks? If you've come to a place in your life where you say, God, I'm committed to growing and becoming like Jesus, there's a process that God is busy with. And sometimes we fail the test and we don't even know it yet. But God is busy. He's up to something. The truth is that things are going to happen and that we'll have to go through experiences which will make absolutely no sense in this lifetime at all. That's a fact. I don't care how many scriptures we know. I don't care what revelation the Spirit of God has given to us. There are things that are going to happen to us that will make no sense in this lifetime at all. Really, folks, think about it. There's so many things that the Church of Jesus Christ yet does not know. Why don't I know that? Well, the Bible declares so. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says this. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. That's it. He has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. So there are secrets that belong to the Lord, and that He has revealed and will reveal to no one. And the sooner we come to terms with that, the better. That's why, no matter how much, and you know, folks, it's not about whether you are faithful or not, or whether you love the Lord or not, or whether He's answering prayers or not. It is an indelible, you can't erase it. It is a fact. There are certain things that we're going to go through in this lifetime that we're never going to make sense of. We're just not going to make sense of. You know? And when it comes to the things of justice, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to live far less frustrated lives if we understand that sometimes there's going to be an imbalance in things in our lives that we feel should or shouldn't be in place, for which only God has the answers. And we'll serve ourselves well by coming to terms with that. Scripture says also 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. Now we see things imperfectly. Imperfectly. Like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely. Just as God now knows me completely. And the exciting truth is that God wants to achieve the impossible through simple folk like you and me who simply believe and trust Him. We opened up with Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And we read it from the New King James, which says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want to close off with that, but from the NLT. And Ephesians 3:20 again says this. Now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. The exciting thing is that the scripture says this, His mighty power at work within us. This exceedingly abundant God, who's more than enough, wants these things to come to pass through simple people like you and me that simply trust Him. Flight. Just notate. It's been a privilege and honor sharing God's word with you again this morning. My encouragement to you is that if this message has stirred you and the Spirit of God has challenged you, understand this, that He's the God of more than enough. But the truth is, some things are going to happen in our lifetime that we don't understand, Steve. We're not going to have the answer for. And the challenge is living with attention and believing, like that scripture, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, God will have all sufficiency in all things, that in all times will have an abundance for every good work. That when we don't understand His process and His purpose and His timing, that's when it becomes difficult. And to trust that He is who He says He is and is going to fulfill His promises. My encouragement to you is that hang on to God and His promises. That when you don't understand His purposes, His processes, and His timing, know that somehow, somewhere in your life, He's busy working these things to come to pass in your life because He knows better. Folks that are here this morning and those watching online, if you're finding this challenging, I want to pray with you this morning as we come before God openly and honestly and we just ourselves this morning say, God, I admit the frustration that I have in my life. I've asked and I don't understand. I'm okay with that. The scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by spoken words. So Lord, it's in faith that even we're not at the place of understanding yet, we're at the place of faith where we believe your word at face value. My prayer is, Lord God, for every precious brother and sister in Christ Jesus this morning that is going through difficult times, that you are the God of more than enough. You're the God, you're Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace. And Father, in those difficult times of tension, where we're not understanding the plan, the process, or the timing, Holy Spirit, would you comfort us in the name of Jesus? And let your peace reside upon us, Lord God, that we can walk in victory. In times when we've fallen and stumbled, thank you that you pick us up again, Lord God, because underneath are the everlasting arms of a loving God. And I pray, Lord God, for not necessarily an answer to all of the questions we have in our lives, but that we will find you, the giver of those answers for every difficulty. And if you're watching at home and you're listening to this and the Word of God has challenged you and stirred you in your heart and you say to yourself, well, Mozzie, I don't even have this kind of relationship with Jesus or God. We are named to be this abundant God. I want to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And it's got nothing to do with church membership or a patch that you wear or what you believe, except that you believe this, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. That He died and paid the price and shed His blood to forgive you and us of our sins. That you acknowledge that, you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And invite Jesus to be Lord of your life because you believe He's the Savior of your life. And if you don't have that relationship with God, I'll be doing you a disservice if I do not pray with you. And if you're watching online and you want this relationship with Jesus, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Folks this morning here joining with us are going to join with us as we pray together for you specifically that you can have this relationship with Jesus. So right there, wherever you are watching, just pray with me like this. As we say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died and your blood was shed to pay for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can be forgiven and have a new life. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life and be Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. And from this day, Holy Spirit, help me to live for Jesus all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, if you've prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to be in touch with us. Our details on our website. If you do not have a church that you call home, get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and help you understand what has happened as you start this new walk with the Lord. Thank you for making the time to join us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love
love you. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week. God bless you.